So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned home, His mother was in a great state of sorrow, but her only daughter-in-law, and her only child, was gone. So in order to pacify his beloved mother, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to accept another wife. And it was arranged that he marry. The Thakur's supreme emblem of all chastity and devotion, Srimati Vishnupriya. Vishnupriya Devi, she served Lord Gauranga with devotion and love that is incomprehensible for the mortal mind. She was the very emblem of chastity, and her every word, for every act, for every thought, her life and soul was exclusively dedicated to giving pleasure to her husband, moment after moment after moment. She knew nothing else in her life. She was the most beautiful, most loving, most kind-hearted of all things. And Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he was enjoying this intimate, conjugal reciprocation with Vishnupriya for some years. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Manasandas Mahaprabhu, explains, is Satita Padanabhava. That means he has come to deliver the most fallen. And his mind was simply fixed on that purpose. So it is described that one day, Lord Shivara Sundar was sitting. This is sometime after his initiation. And he began to manifest his ecstatic love for Krishna. He was sitting alone, and he fell into a state of consciousness which was deep, deep in the mood of separation. That same separation that is felt by Sri Radha in the Gopis. So in that state of consciousness, with great love, he began to cry out the name, Gopi, Gopi, over and over and over again, Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. And at that time, one of his students came to him, that friend. He had never seen such a thing. So he interrupted the Lord. He said, why do you chant the names of Gopi? You should chant the name of Krishna. If you want pious results to this ritual of chanting, then you should chant the name of Krishna, not Gopi Gopi. And of course, Lord Gurusundar was in an ecstatic divine mood at the time. So he became very angry. When the Lord becomes angry, he becomes very angry. So he began to rebuke Krishna. He began to chastise Krishna with so many words. Because he happened to be at that time in the same mood that Radharani, Sri Radharani and Gopis were when Uddhava came to Vrindavan with a message. And Srimati Radharani and the Gopis were chastising out of ultimate love Krishna. Why you have left us? We've given our hearts, our homes, our lives to you, and then you just left. You are an unreliable master. So he began to rebuke Krishna in so many words. Then he picked up a stick and went to chastise the student. And the student ran and scratched him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the stick started running towards him to feed him. At that that time the devotees of Sri Chaitanya, they somehow or other pacify him. Meanwhile, this student who happened to be a Smarta Brahmin, in those days the Smarta Brahmins were controlling the religion of India. That means people who are Brahmins by birth, who perform the rituals, who cultivate knowledge, but who have no devotion. So he went back to an assembly of thousands and thousands of young Smarta Brahmin students who were all engaged in studies. And he told them what this Gauranga Mahaprabhu had done. This Nimai, he came and chased me with a stick, although I am a Brahmin. This is the ruination of the Brahminical order if people are disrespectful to the son of a Brahmin. And the word spread. And all these thousands of students that told their parents and all the Brahmins, Smarta Brahmin community became very angry. They said, if this Nimai does it again, we will punish him. And they were spreading all horrible, blasphemous rumors about Nimai. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to pray. That the purpose I descended into this material world is to deliver the fools and rats. But to be so-called Brahmins, they are so proud of their high birth, of their education, that they will not humble themselves to accept devotion to Krishna. And factually, unless they learn to offer respect to me, they can make no advancement, because I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. Therefore, now they are simply criticizing and blaspheming the Supreme Lord. What is their chance? What is their hope of salvation? So in his contemplation, he decided that the culture of India is that one who is a sannyasi, in the renounced order of life, that person is naturally given respect and obeisances by all other classes within society. You see, the Varnashram system, Chaturvana Mayaskristam Guna Panadabhava, which was initiated by Lord Sri Krishna himself. There are four varnas and four ashrams. Of these four varnas, the Brahmin is the guru for the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Sudras. And of the four ashrams, the sannyasi is the guru for the Vanaprasthas, Vihasas, and Brahmacharyas. But of the two, the ashram is more important than the varna, so therefore every Brahmin also must accept sannyasi as guru, according to the Varnashram system. So of course, 500 years ago when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was settled on this earth, people still have this religious integrity. According to the Shastra, it is said that if one does not offer his obeisances to a sannyasi when he first sees him, that person is sinful, and he must fast the full day in order to atone for that sin. Otherwise, he is an offender. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew these rules, and everyone knew these rules. Even people who were atheists, they would bow down to sannyasi, out of custom, out of fear. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided, anyone who offers their respects to me, the Supreme Sri Krishna, will become my devotee. So therefore, in order to trick them, let me take sannyas. So by the divine plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one very great sannyasi came to the home of Sachimata just a few days later. He was the great Keshava Bharati Maharaj. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that he was in town, he invited him to his home, and he fed him to the side, and offered him all services that the Gurhastra is known to do for a sannyasi. And then Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Keshava Bharati Maharaj, he said, man, and I want to at custom amounts for every flight. In finishing up Arati Maharaj, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are fully independent. You are my Lord and Master. Whatever you order me, I am your servant. And in Keshava Bharati Maharaj came to his ashram. We are now sitting in the ashram of Keshava Bharati Maharaj. Keshava Bharati, he was a disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. He was a Nityasiddha Paramahansa, pure bhakta. Divine love of Krishna was ever prevailing within his heart. But because at that time in India, the Vaishnava sannyasis were not respected hardly at all. Anyone who wanted to take sannyas for the purpose of preaching, even Vaishnavas, would take in the Shankaracharya Sampradaya. Because at that time, the preachers of Shankaracharya were very powerful. And sannyas meant to the general public a sannyas in the Sampradaya of Shankar. So therefore, there's only one purpose of taking sannyas, and that is to preach. Otherwise, why should anyone go through such difficulty? So Keshava Bharati Maharaj accepted the sannyas order in the line of Shankaracharya. Although he was initiated with the Vaishnava line of Madhavendra Puri and the Pure Devotee of Sri Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided that this is the path he wanted to take. Of course, his mother Sachidevi and his wife Vishnupriya, they were constantly getting these visions, horrible visions, of seeing Nimai with shaved head and saffron robes. It was unbearable. They could not even tolerate the thought of it. They were constantly in fear that someday the object of all their love would leave them. So on one momentous evening, as Vishnupriya, as she would massage the lotus feet of Lord Gaurasundara, and then he would be laying in his bed. She would be laying at his feet, sleeping. When Sri Gaurasundara saw that she was sound asleep in the middle of the night, he very quietly left that place. And when he left that place, no one heard that he was going away. But along with Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Chandrasekhar, and Mukunda, they quietly, in the darkness of the night, came to this place. Shortly after Lord Gaurasundara left, Hachimata, who was sleeping in her bed, she felt an unbearable pain within her heart. That pain was so excruciating that it woke her up. And as soon as she woke up, she cried out, "Nimai, Nimai!" Because she knows that such a pain in her heart could not exist unless her child Nimai is back. So in a desperate state of anxiety, she ran to the room to see the middle of the night. And she opened the door. And there she saw Vishnupriya sleeping at the foot of the bed. And her son, Nimai, was gone. So she ran into the forest. And she began to scream out, "Nimai, Nimai!" Crying, wailing. And then she would fall unconscious. And then she would rise again and begin to run this direction, that direction, calling out the name, Nimai, Nimai. And then again, fall unconscious. Tears. Not flowing, but shooting from her eyes. Body trembling. Heart throbbing. And mortal pain. She was running in the darkness, crying out. She became mad, insane. She began to cry out to the trees. Where is my Nimai? Have you seen him? Which way has he gone? To the creepers. To the birds. To the insects. Whatever living entity she would see, she fell at their feet and pleaded, help me find my Nimai, or I will give up my life at this moment. But there was no response. She fell apart. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he could not even describe the state of consciousness that Srimati Vishnupriya was in when this moon reached a moment of consciousness. She simply fell in the most pitiable state of asylum separation. And we know that Lord Gaurasundara is the all-pervading personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart. He just kept walking towards Kapha. And when he arrived here, he gathered all the devotees who were present in the ashram. And he requested that they perform Harinam Sanskirtan throughout the day. So through the entire day, in this very room, Lord Gaurasundara and his devotees began to chant, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And he touched his head and pleased the patient's heart and the rhythm of the heart. And Kesha Bharati instructed him in the formalities that would be better for his taking us in this. According to the instruction of Srila Kesha Bharati Maharaj, that evening, Lord Sri Gaurasundara, along with his associates, they went to the bank of the Ganga. That was the time when he was known to cut his hair and accept the garb of a monk, of renunciation. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested his devotees, you kindly shave my head. When the devotees saw the beauty of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's long black hair, the thought of him without it was unbearable. They could not even imagine. You see, all the devotees, they saw him as the supreme enjoyer, Sri Nanda Nandana. And they wanted him only to enjoy the pleasures of their devotion. The thought that was accepting the hard and cruel life of a sannyasi, they could not bear it. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered them, cut my hair. So they would come one by one with the scissors, the razor. And as soon as they would approach him, before they could even touch
one part of his hair. Their eyes were filled with so much tears. Their bodies began to tremble so much that they were blinded, they could not see, and then they would fall unconscious. One by one, Lord Chaitanya was ordering each one to come forward, but none of them to do it. Finally, he decided we would have to hire an outsider, a barber. He was also attached. And he was just sleeping. So the barber came. When he saw the beauty of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair, he also began to cry. He said, "My dear Lord, you are not meant to take sannyas. You are such a beautiful personality." But Lord Chaitanya has a great humility. He asked him, "Please come to me." So he began to shave the head of the boy. And as his hair began to fall to the ground, everyone on the bank of the Ganga who was there, they were crying, they were screaming at the top of their lungs, in pain, to see such a pastime taking place before their eyes. They were fainting, coming forward, seeing his head, shedding his hair, fainting again and again. It was a most pitiable scene. And then from the bank of the Ganga he came back. And the devotees collected every thread of their hair. And in that yellow building, just behind it, they're putting here a box. And then Keshava Bharati Maharaj took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the hand, and they sat under that tree. The same tree. Right across from the Samadhi Mandir of the Lord's Mouth. And there alone they sat under that tree. And Lord Sri Gaurasundara, he whispered in the ear of his guru a particular mantra. It is the sannyas mantra. Because Lord Gaurasundara is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the particular mood of his particular sampradaya, he offered the sannyas mantra personally. And then Keshava Bharati Maharaj, under this tree, he whispered that very same sannyas mantra into the ear of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it was at that place, under that tree, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the order of sannyas. And he was given the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Before that, he was known by the name of Nimai, Gohari, Goranga, Gaurasundara. But at the time of his taking sannyas, he was given the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. To the right, through this doorway, is the Samadhi Mandir for the Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Keshava Bharati Maharaj. So why did the Lord take sannyas? It is the most inconceivable, incomprehensible thing for anyone to understand. He had the most loving wife, the embodiment of all good qualities. She had all, she had the complete opulence of beauty of the goddess of fortune. Everything she said, everything she did was for the pleasure of her lord and husband. Who could possibly give up a woman like that? It is impossible. Hundreds and billions and trillions of times more attractive qualities on all levels than any mortal woman could ever have. And his mother, she was completely dependent as the wife of his family. She lived only to see him. It is described that when Sachimata, when Lord Chaitanya was not before her eyes for even a few minutes, she would begin to tremble in anxiety. It was unbearable for her. How could anyone give up such an affectionate wife, such an affectionate mother? He was famous throughout Navadvipa as the greatest scholar. He had everything. He had riches. He had followers. He had strength, beauty, everything a man could possibly want. He had it in the most super excellent form. But he gave it all up. For one reason alone. To preach. Whatever was conducive to help in this preaching of the Sankirtan movement, he accepted. However much pain it caused him or anyone else. Now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is the Supreme Personality of God, please remember, he was playing the role of a devotee. We could easily say, oh, well, the Lord could do anything. After all, what did he lose? But he was playing the role of a devotee to show us by his example our determination, how it should be. Our detachment, our dedication, devotion, to show compassion to others. When the devotees of the Lord hear this pastime, God. How the Supreme Lord renounced and forsook such a life just to give you the opportunity to chant the holy names of God and be saved. The Lord has renounced all of this for you. Give you the chance to be Krishna conscious. Now the question is, in reciprocation, how are we willing to give up to assist him in his noble mission? Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, Vriheta go vanita go sadhari vodhita. It is not that everyone has to take sannyas. This is impractical. But in whatever ashram we are in whatever condition of life we are in, some of us we can best serve as sannyasis. We should accept that sacrifice. Some of us can best serve as brahmacharis and grihasthas. But the spirit of sannyas with how much you are willing to put aside our own selfish interests for the sake of the mission of the Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here, at this holy place of pilgrimage, we can meditate and remember the great sacrifice that the Supreme Lord has performed for our sake. And we can meditate and imbibe within our heart the spirit of compassion, the spirit of sacrifice, the spirit of renunciation. And it is this spirit alone that will attract the Supreme Lord to bestow upon you the greatest treasure, the greatest opulence of Prema-bhakti, pure divine love for His Lotus Feet. If we value anything greater than that treasure above of God, you will never see it. You will never find it wherever you go. Until you make that treasure the goal of your life. And accept only those things which help you pursue that goal. You will never find it. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give that divine treasure of the Lord. If we simply accept His mercy, by accepting things favorable and rejecting things unfavorable for ourselves to Guru and Krishna. If we humble ourselves to be the servant of the Vaishnavas, we humble ourselves at the feet of the Holy Name and chant with great sincerity. The Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be sworn from the moment of great treasure. And it is our greatest fortune that was giving us the chance to assist Him in distributing the contents of that treasure. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.